This podcast is brought to you by SMC. Money wise, be wise.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. You're listening to FutureWise, a podcast series on the latest trends in education and careers. I'm your host, Keertana Shankaran, and with me I have Money Control's M. Saraswati, who will be giving us some tips and tricks on basic social etiquette that needs to be maintained while applying for a job. Welcome to the show, Saraswati.
Hi, Keertana.
So, while applying for a job, what is the basic etiquette that needs to be followed?
So, there are a few tips and tricks that, you know, generally is given for candidates who apply for a job. First of all, you know, this goes without saying that you must read about the company, its culture, the visions and values. There could be a lot of candidates, for instance, who say switch from a startup kind of a work environment to a corporate job. The kind of lifestyle that a startup work culture may have is much different than what a corporate culture may have. It could include, yeah, you know, the work timings. It could include as basic things as dress code, for instance. Yeah. So a candidate must read up properly so that they are well prepared for the new work environment.
Okay.
Now, secondly, also before or once you've just applied for the job, a lot of your employers also go back and check on all your social profiles. So something like a LinkedIn, for instance, very basic that your profile photograph on a professional networking site like LinkedIn must look professional. You cannot be putting up any casual photographs of you on a holiday or on vacation. It should be your professional photograph properly dressed. And also you should ensure that you bring in your best aspects, you know, be it your references, be it your core strengths and weaknesses upfront and not beat about the bush and write long reviews or long resumes. Another interesting thing that a lot of human resource professionals say that while your CV or your resume should look very good or should look crisp, you should never lie. I know this is very basic, but a lot of us think of putting in aspects which are putting in skills that we are actually not trained in to ensure that we have a better chance at getting through to a new employer. But then this only leads you into trouble. And for instance, if there is a background verification done, and if there are details sought about that skill and whether you have a professional qualification in it, mm-hmm, you'll land into trouble and you probably will also be blacklisted from applying for any such job in the future.
Oh, okay. Will related companies also get to know about how you have faked your profile?
That also happens because, you know, mostly there are a few 7 or 8 fixed background verification agencies that work with companies.
Oh, okay.
So what happens is if you've, say, faked your resume with one company, the data is usually shared and stored in one particular common database.
Okay.
So if you keep doing it time and again, you will be blacklisted. The company may not tell you why they're not hiring you, but they come to know that you've done this in the past.
Oh, okay.
So for instance, people put up things like, you know, I've done a short course in CFA or other financial qualifications, whereas in fact they have never done anything like that.
Oh.
And now with everything being digitized, even certificates getting digitized, it's very easy to check for these background verification agencies.
Coming to the HR's call, how long should we wait before we initiate a call?
So this is a very interesting question. You know, there is typically a 3 to 4 week gap that you should be giving to ensure that the HR gets time to kind of look through your resume, check all your profiles, check whether you are the right fit for the company before you try and, you know, reach out to them once again.
Okay.
While sometimes, you know, there could be, if it's a job where too many people have applied, there could be a bit of an oversight from the part of an HR wherein, you know, they may have genuinely, you know, lost touch of it, or they may be busy in some other work as well. But, you know, a lot of candidates make the mistake of going on calling the HR every other day or once or twice a week, or keeping sending them mails again and again. It sometimes may put the HR off, and even if you are a genuinely good candidate, you may or may not be considered. So a 3 to 4 week gap is a good enough period wherein you can contact the HR.
Okay.
And probably you can just ask a straightforward question as to how long it will take, rather than asking whether I'm being considered or things like salary and other things.
Okay. Before you were talking about our social media profiles and how it's important to maintain them properly. So what kind of posts on social media is considered a black mark?
So typically companies, you know, they on one hand want you to be aware of social issues, but on the other hand, they wouldn't want someone who's too much of an activist sort of a person.
Yeah.
So a very politically you know, a politically charged post against or for a particular party is a big no-no.
Okay.
Similarly, you know, supporting organizations which probably are on the borderline of militancy, of course, is a big no-no. For instance, you know, we remember an instance wherein a very senior person at a large engineering firm was shortlisted for the CXO post. But he had expressed some solidarity with an alleged group that had that was involved in the destruction of the company's project in the past.
Oh, okay.
He had some left leanings and that had reflected in some of his social media posts, which is why he was not considered.
Okay.
So something like that, and of course, you know, something like an alcohol abuse or drug abuse and photographs related to that is a big no-no. I know we all like to put up pictures of us partying, but there is a line that you need to draw, because at this point, while, you know, we put up statuses like your, you know, retweets are not endorsements and this is my personal profile, but there is a very thin line between professional and personal. And at the end of the day, everybody does come to know that you work for a specific organization. So that is a there is a standard decorum that you need to maintain.
But we always have that option of making our profiles private, right?
That is, yeah, that is true. You have the option of making it private, but a lot of organizations, before even before you join, they have a mandatory requirement of you disclosing your social media profile or making it public for a certain period so that the company can go through to see what is the kind of lifestyle you lead. You know, something as simple as having tattoos all over your body may be okay for you, but in a lot of certain organizations, they do not appreciate, you know, body tattoos or tattoos on exposed parts of the body. They find that professionally inappropriate. So even something like that could be bad.
There are instances where the HR ghosts candidates. What do we do in such a situation?
There are again both sides, you know, to the story. On one hand, there are HR probably may not be sincerely interested in the candidate or may not find the skills matching up to their requirements. So what they do is they stop responding, or probably you don't hear back from them for a long time. Now, as I mentioned earlier, you know, 3 to 4 weeks is a good time after which you can go back and check. And if you kind of get an inkling that they are not interested, it is better to move on and, you know, use your contacts to apply somewhere else. On the other hand, there is also a bigger issue of candidates ghosting the HR as well, wherein candidates probably who are not interested in the job and are reluctant to inform the HR, do not bother informing the HR that they do not want to join the organization. We've seen in the recent past, in the past few weeks, where on LinkedIn, person was actually shamed by the future HR because this person had accepted a job offer but did not turn up for work. And he instead went and joined another rival firm.
Okay.
So something like this is also taken in a very negative attitude by the HR.
But at the same time, in this kind of a situation, it's important to be honest, right? For both the HR and the person who's trying to apply, if they're either not interested or if it's not working out, either of the parties are supposed to mention.
That is very true. You know, it is better that you mention and make it clear that you're not interested in the job position, because at the end of the day, the costs of hiring are very high, and, you know, finding a right fit candidate is also on the rise.
And it's a lengthy process.
Yes. And after which, if you're probably they've aligned their business strategies to around you joining, and if you end up not turning up to work and not informing them, then you are at a loss as well as they.
Which brings us back to your first point, where you said that it's important to know about your company so that you're sure that you want
to
apply.
Join.
Now, coming to the most important part, salary negotiations. And everyone would want to get the best package. How do we go about that?
So salary negotiations, of course, you know, apart from the job role, play one of the biggest roles in terms of the reason why we want to switch, for instance. 30% on an industry average is considered like a good jump in terms of a salary hike.
Okay.
But for, say, niche positions, say data mining expert or say big data developer or data analytics skills, which are in demand and where the demand supply mismatch is high, there you can obviously command a premium. So you could probably go to, say, open source sites like a Glassdoor and find out what is the average salary that is being paid to that particular role or that particular profession, and you can negotiate appropriately. Now, one mistake which a lot of candidates end up making is that they usually ask for a 70, 80, 100% hike, which considering the current economic situation, may not be a very viable position for companies to pay.
Yeah.
While if you're an extraordinary talent and if they're desperate to hire you, they will end up paying you for it. But a candidate asking straight away for a 70 to 100% hike is something that generally is a big no-no, because
yeah,
a company will not be able to pay you that much for it.
Yeah.
Another bigger problem which a lot of companies have pointed out is that candidates, once they get a job offer, they go back to their original company and try to bargain and then again raise rates.
Okay.
So for instance, if say I've gotten a 30% hike, I go back to my company where I'm working in, then I ask them for a 50% hike.
Mm-hmm.
Then I go back to the new employer and ask for a 70% hike, saying that my existing company is ready to pay.
Okay.
That is also considered a very bad etiquette as far as HR is concerned, because if you're negotiating so much on your salary, and if your loyalty is also being tested.
Okay. Also, I heard somewhere that it's important to, while negotiating, you talk more about your talents and what you can bring to the company rather than your personal needs. Because when you do talk about your personal needs, it doesn't come out very well, does it?
That is true, because you know, companies obviously, is new person is being hired for the set of skills that he or she brings to the table. And just by looking at your CV, the company may not understand what is it that you bring to the table unless you are able to demonstrate. Because that one page of resume adds no additional information than giving you basic details. So it is important, rather than you saying that I need it because I want to buy a house or I need more salary to say shift to a bigger house, rather than you say that what value you will add to the company and what is the return on investment that they will get.
Okay, sure. Thanks so much, Saraswati, for these insights.
Thank you.
And finally, a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, stock analysis and trading recommendations. You can now subscribe to Money Control Pro for just ₹289 for 1 year as part of our independence offer. Use code FREEDOM. The offer is valid until 31st August for Android and desktop users. Log on to Money Control today to subscribe.
With that, it's a wrap on this podcast. If you have more questions for Saraswati or something that we can cover, you can mail us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. That's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thanks for listening.